suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, thank you once again for your word to us. And we pray that you would help us to hear what you have to say from your scriptures today. Thank you that it was your Holy Spirit who wrote your scriptures through the human authors. And it's also your Holy Spirit who speaks to us today. So we have the author speaking deep into our hearts and our minds. Please help us to hear him. Amen. Sometimes I find myself in a conversation about our church and churches like ours with usually really nice and well-meaning people who are sometimes people I know and would call friends. They're always church people, and they're from various different denominations and maybe churches that aren't from a denomination at all. And the conversation goes something like this after the initial small talk intros. They ask, "Hi John, how's church going at the moment?" I answer, usually having opportunity to praise God for some of the amazing things he's doing amongst us here, bringing new people to us, bringing people from death to life as they put their faith in Jesus, and giving us opportunities to proclaim his name in the community. And they say, "That's great to hear, John. That's brilliant." And then it's never quite as blunt as this, but they say something along these lines. And remember, they're well-meaning. "I love churches like yours. They're great for helping people get to the basics of the gospel and to get that right. It's wonderful when people become Christians there. And your sermons and Bible studies are thorough, which is giving them a great grounding at the beginning of their Christian journey. You just know that there's a qualification coming up, don't you?" And they say something like this: "It's wonderful to see people become Christians at your church and then move on elsewhere, where they can really grow in the Christian faith." And they'll put something like this on the end of that sentence. They'll say, "Through exploring their spiritual gifts." Nothing wrong with that. Through growing a deeper appreciation of the liturgy. Nothing wrong with that, as long as it's gospel-focused liturgy. Through being free to really wholeheartedly worship. Praise God if people are wholeheartedly worshiping. Or developing a deeper, more mystical faith. Well, we need to know that God is separate from us and became one of us in the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that we're told happened, but we don't quite know the dynamics of everything as how that happened. There is mystery to that, isn't there? Or they might say, through thinking more academically about God. Nothing wrong with that. We need Christian academics. But notice what they've done in this conversation. They've said it's great when you become a Christian at a church like ours, And great when you move on to another church that has a focus of one of those other things instead of sermons and Bible studies. Similarly, I've been to churches where everyone's invited to stay after the service for the time of ministry. Now, I'm sure the leader doesn't intend to say that the main meeting isn't ministry, but what has been communicated is that the most significant ministry begins after the time that God's people have been gathered around his word, listening to his voice. Perhaps you've been to gatherings like that as well. And I've been to churches where the Sunday gathering isn't considered complete without a particular setting of liturgy or a particular type of service. Like Holy Communion, it's not a proper service if there's not communion. It's not a proper service unless that liturgy is used. Maybe you've been to a church where it's a little bit like that too. Maybe you've got a well-meaning Christian friend who wishes you would go to a church a bit like theirs, where you can move on from the basics that you've learnt here. Or perhaps you've picked up that sentiment from a Christian TV program or radio show. You see, there are plenty of really lovely, kind-hearted Christians who don't think that the type of ministry that we and churches like ours have is really enough. That a mainly talking ministry, sermons, Bible studies, and so on, all only takes you so far. And that really, you need to add to that if you're going to go deeper into Christ, into Jesus, into your faith. If you're really going to be rooted and not just planted in Christ, then you need more than a talking ministry. So here's our question today. Our question today is this: do we need more than a talking about Jesus ministry if our ministry is going to really grow us deeper and root us in Christ? Last week, he talked a lot about Jesus. If you're here last week, then our minds were blown by him, weren't they? And if you weren't here, do listen online. Just how mind-blowing awesome Jesus is. And I hope that we saw that Jesus is everything. Everything in creation, everything in the church, all we need. Paul wrote in chapter 1, verse 23, just before today's passage, have a look with me. Don't move from him. Why? Because he's everything. And the same idea is there just after our passage today, in chapter 2, verse 8. Continue to live in him. Don't move from him. Continue to live in him. You could move seamlessly, couldn't you, from last week's passage to the following passage after today's. And you might not even notice if it was being read out loud and you didn't have it in front of you. So why do we have these 11 verses spanning the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2? What are they here for? Well, here's why I think they're here. And you'll have to tell me afterwards if you think I'm wrong or if I'm right. I think that these verses are here because if Jesus is everything, which we know he is, but if Paul's style of talking about Jesus' ministry is lacking, then Paul's talking about Jesus' ministry is only good for beginners. And our kind-hearted friends from other types of churches may well be right. But if Jesus is everything, which we know he is, and Paul's type of talking about Jesus' ministry is not lacking in any way, then Paul's ministry is everything we need to go deeper into Christ. And what we need in church is a ministry that copies Paul's type of talking about Jesus' ministry. To help us see this, we've got three headings. And the first one's up there already. Firstly, talking about Jesus' ministry is everything ministry. So, our key verse is chapter 1, verse 28. Look with me at that, where Paul is upfront about his type of ministry. He writes, "He, Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing," that means warning, "and teaching everyone with all wisdom." Proclaim there is a speaking word, isn't it? You can't proclaim silently. And if you're going to be proclaiming, you have to be talking about. He is the one we talk about. But the Colossians are worried. They've not quite had their heads turned by certain other ideas about ministry that are around, out and about around them, but they've certainly become aware and been made aware by their kindly friends that maybe this Paul-style ministry of proclaiming isn't quite enough. It's not quite the bee's knees. They're saying, you need more depth, Colossians. More spirituality, more authenticity, maybe more excitement. And all Paul does is talk. Surely that's not where fullness and depth can be found, can it, Colossians? It seems so ordinary. It seems almost unspiritual in a way. But notice verse 25. Paul says this, "I have become it," that's talking about the church, the body of Christ, "I've become its servant by the commission God gave me." Commission to do what? To present you, to present to you the word of God in its fullness. To present to you the word of God in its fullness. This talking about Jesus' ministry makes everything known about the everything Jesus. You see, God's purpose was to spill the beans on the greatest mystery ever. The wonderful truth that Christ can be in the Gentiles, people like most of you and me, who aren't from God's historic people, the Jewish nation. Gentiles like the Colossians, and most of us, can have all of Christ. How? Well, verse 28 again. Through him being proclaimed. Through him being talked about. Being talked about in sermons, in Bible studies, in general conversation. If we want to go deeper into Christ, to be rooted in him, to grow in our faith, then what is it that we need the most? We need to hear about Jesus more and more, week in, week out. We need the word of God presented to us in its fullness. Now, we need to be clear what this does and doesn't mean. It doesn't mean three things, three possible misunderstandings I can think of. First of all, it doesn't mean that talking about Jesus' ministry includes occasionally mentioning Jesus' name during a talk. It doesn't even mean regularly repeating his name during prayer or in a worship song. Really lovely, very well-meaning ministers might mention Jesus even more than in passing. But notice again how Paul describes the ministry that God had commissioned him to do, and therefore all ministers of the gospel following him. To present to you the word of God in its fullness. Talking about Jesus' ministry, everything ministry, full ministry, necessarily means opening up the Bible and over time making all of its contents known to all of those people listening in the congregation. Some call that consecutive expository preaching, working through a book of the Bible or a section of a book of the Bible, bringing out its meaning and helping us all to see how that applies to us today, how it changes our minds and our hearts and our lives, what difference it makes. And doing that consecutively through a book of the Bible, because that's how the book of the Bible was written. It was written so that the first part makes sense of the second part, and that makes sense of the third part, and so on. And that's what we practice here, isn't it? Here's the second misunderstanding, that you could find a minister who fully believes everything there is in the Bible, Ash and I both do, but who doesn't teach everything that is there. Yes, they believe it, but they don't talk about everything that's in it. Why might that happen? Why might I be tempted not to talk about some of the things that the Bible teaches? Well, I could be scared to say things that might upset people, with either inside the church or outside the church, might get me cancelled. Or perhaps because I've got some favourite themes that I want to talk about, and so I choose themes from the Bible and find Bible verses that teach about those. That's why we nearly always preach through whole books of the Bible here. Because if we're choosing our own themes or missing bits out, we're not allowing God to set the agenda, are we? We're setting the agenda ourselves. And we're not teaching the fullness of the Word of God. So that's why we've, over the last couple of years or so, we've looked at Galatians and Zechariah and Genesis chapters 10 to 20 and 2 Corinthians. Those books have not been preached on for some time here, or maybe not at all, in living memory. Ash and I want to present the whole Word of God in its fullness, so that all of us together, us included, are growing in depth in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're allowing God to set the agenda, aren't we, through his word. And we're forced to think about the subjects that we might not choose to want to talk about. And we're made to proclaim the word of God all the way through. Real God-commissioned, Paul-shaped, talking about Jesus' ministry proclaims all of the truths about Jesus as revealed in the Bible. And here's the third and final possible misunderstanding that I could think of. Talking about Jesus' ministry doesn't mean that we only talk about Jesus all the time to the exclusion of everything else. You see, in some ways that could be great, but in other ways it would be incredibly heavy, wouldn't it? Christian friendships are built over shared interests and personal connections, just like any other friendship is. But distinctively Christian friendships don't neglect talking about Jesus. He's never very far from our conversation. So talking about Jesus' ministry is everything ministry, because Jesus is everything we need. Secondly, talking about Jesus' ministry grows Christians who have everything, who have Jesus. I take it we all want to grow in our knowledge and our love for Jesus here. That's why we're gathered here today, isn't it? That we all want to go deeper into the faith, that we all want to live our lives more for him. The Colossians certainly did. Look how Paul describes his job among all the churches in chapter 2, verse 2. My goal, my job, is that they, the churches, may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. the aim of a talking, preaching the Bible and doing Bible studies ministry is for Christians to have encouraged hearts. That means to have hearts that are changed to follow after Jesus. It's to be united in love, individual Christians knitted together in one body, really, genuinely loving one another. To have the full riches of understanding. In other words, to know God's word more and more in order that we know Jesus Christ better and better. That's the aim of the ministry, isn't it? It's the aim of talking about Jesus' ministry, is to give Christians who have Jesus everything there is in Jesus. That doesn't sound like a shallow Christian who needs more from another type of so-called ministry, does it? This talking about Jesus' ministry grows Christians so that we increasingly know the everything we have. And it does that because Jesus is that everything. We talk about the one who is everything so that we know the everything more. If we know him as he's revealed himself throughout the pages of the Bible, then we have him more and more. So finally, as we close, don't be deceived. It's there at the end of our passage, isn't it? Chapter 2, verse 4, I tell you this, so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Now, fine-sounding arguments sounds like people who are being intentionally sly, intentionally cunning to drag us away. But I tell you that fine-sounding arguments can come for the kindest, nicest people who have our best intentions at heart. But we hold up our intentions and everybody else's to the plumb line of Scripture. The Colossians were aware of other voices promising more depth, more experiences, more authenticity, more excitement, more reverence from things other than a talking about Jesus' ministry. Those well-meaning people were promising more through means other than what Paul is writing about here, other than what God commissioned Paul and Bible teachers to do. We have the same around us, don't we? Well-meaning Christian friends. Other churches with good intentions, but slightly different or rather different priorities and methods. Some of the programs on Christian TV and on Christian radio might be dragging us away from this teaching about Jesus' ministry with the best intentions at heart. The same online with YouTube videos and podcasts. Don't be deceived by others offering different means to be rooted in Christ and growing in him, because this is the means that God has given us, a talking about Jesus' ministry within the church and proclaiming it beyond, because Jesus is everything. And by all means, go to another church if you want to, but please don't. We love having you here. Please don't go anywhere else. But if you do, if you move away, or if you live further away and can't travel here anymore, by all means, go to another church. But make sure that it's one where talking about Jesus, our everything ministry, is prioritized over everything else. And that's done through opening up the Scriptures and preaching, making known the wholeness, the fullness of the Word of God. Somewhere where Jesus is proclaimed, not just mentioned. Somewhere where the Word of God is presented in its fullness, not just dotted around. By all means, listen to podcasts, watch YouTube videos, tune into Christian TV and radio. But please do it with a discerning heart and mind? Is what you're hearing, what you're watching, talking about Jesus and telling you that the way to get to grow deeper in your faith is to get to know him better through his word, as opened up by the presenters on those different channels? If it is, fantastic, keep watching and share it with me. If it's not, don't be deceived. Look elsewhere. Everything ministry is talking about Jesus, because Jesus is everything. Talking about Jesus means proclaiming the word of God in its fullness. Let's not be deceived that Christian ministry is anything else. Let's not be deceived that our way to growth in Christ, our way to being rooted in him, is from anything else other than a talking about Jesus ministry. Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we do praise you for your kindness to us. We praise you that you have given us your word, that you've given us people here who love your word and want to open it up and teach it, and people who love opening it up and listening to it, whether that be from the front or in Bible studies, in growth groups and similar. We thank you for the great blessing of that here at St. Andrew's, at St. Luke's, and at other like-minded churches around and about. Please would you cause us to always love everything Bible proclamation, Jesus proclamation ministry. Please would you help us to chase after that and to be discerning about anything that puts its priorities elsewhere other than making your word known to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.